Let's do our declaration together. All right, say it with me. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Lord Jesus, I declare that with all of my heart. Lord, I believe it with all that's within me. Use me for your purposes, for your glory, to bring honor to your name. Lord, use me in this time as we speak and as we share about vision, as we share about building and dreaming and partnering with you, Lord. Cover all of this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I came back from vacation, and I told Kathleen, those of you that may know, we've been in prayer and studying prayer from a foundational level, and we're just kind of layering on it and building. So we're going to have one or two more messages regarding prayer and just continuing to deep dive. And it's all a part of the process. What the Lord said to me a little while back when Kathleen and I were talking about it was that he wanted us to kind of go through some foundational things just to make sure we're all on the same train ride, all in the same boat together, if you will. Okay, so prayer will resume. We're not stopping that. We will go back into it. But as I came back, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share visionally where we've been, where we're going, what's going on, what's in the Lord's heart, what's in our heart, and to share that. And so I'm going to do this today with a little bit of some seeds, some scriptures in here to talk about where we're going and what we're doing. For some of you, it might be a little bit of repetition, but that's okay. We want to make sure it gets in our hearts and we understand what our message is, where we're going, what we're doing, and we all can communicate that well. And then for some of you, it might be the first time you're hearing it. What is Abide about? What are we doing? Why are we here? What's our purpose? What's our plan? And so that's a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to start in Proverbs 29:18, and I have memorized this a number of different ways, but I gave two ways that I don't have it memorized, and I figured it colors it a little bit better for those of us that that have memorized it in the sense that where there is no vision, the people perish. So Proverbs 29:18, you've heard, where there is no vision, the people perish. But here's what it says in the New Living. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Everybody say wild. Wild's not always a good thing. Sometimes it's a good thing, but sometimes it's not, right? It continues to say, it says, but whoever obeys the law is, what is it? Blessed, joyful, happy, okay? Whoever obeys the law is joyful. All right, Proverbs 29:18 in the Amplified. I love this. Check this out. It says, where there is no vision, and then it expounds, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man. Wait a second, we have to obey the laws of the land? Are you serious? Yep. All the speeders in their car on the highway in the middle of the day or at late at night are like, oh no, go the speed limit.
Go the speed limit.
I mean, you don't know who I'm pointing to. But it says, which includes that of man, it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable is he or she. Amen? You're blessed. You're blessed to obey. Blessed to obey God's law. Blessed to obey those that he's put in leadership over us. It's a blessing. Do you believe that? All right, I have a joke for you. Everybody raise your hand. Raise your hand. Now drop it. Raise it again. All right, now put it down. Now you can't say the pastor didn't move you today, all right? Are you with me? All right. It's okay. It's okay. Yes, yes, I know. I've got to study up. They've got me beat. So one of the things that this scripture says to me is we as leaders can get in the vision stage. We can get to the point where we see the vision, right? We know where the destination might even be. We see the vision. We see the big picture. But we don't always see the details. We don't always see the steps that it takes to get there. How many of you know that the steps that it takes to get there is just as important as seeing the big picture? Are you with me? So when I read this, he's talking about vision in the sense that it requires the prophets. Remember, we've been studying the fivefold. It requires the prophets to partner with the apostles and say, hey, I see your vision too. Here's what God is saying about the next step. We need the next steps. We need to be in partnership because the word of God, as we've been studying, says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. If we build on any other foundation than that, we've gotten astray. We've built our own kingdoms, not his kingdom. Are you with me? All right, so kind of setting the stage there. So right here in the book of Proverbs, in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, we see the promise of fivefold where he says, you need vision and you need to understand the steps so that you obey the law of God, so that you are someone who's blessed. Are you with me? Okay. So I have some questions today, and I'm going to pause a lot on this. I hope that doesn't bother you, but the Lord wants us to get our little hamster wheels running like crazy and just turning, okay? So go with me. Pretend you got a little hamster in there and just let it run. What are we called to be? Church, what are we called to be? This is individually, but this is also, you know, as a group here on the corner of 30th, but it's also the Big C Church. What are we called to be? Yeah, I'm hearing a few. So what about children of God? Are we called to be his children? Has he called us sons and daughters? Okay. What about co-heirs or joint heirs with Christ? We have what he has. Some people have a hard time with that. Wait a second. I feel like I'm robbing Jesus. No, he's giving it. Free gift. He said, if you accept my name, all that I have is yours. Are you with me? Co-heirs. It means that God is going to endow him with a great promise spoken of before the foundation of the earth. And the moment that it hits Jesus, it becomes part of us too. Are you with me on that? Co-heirs. What about a new creation? When we profess the name of Jesus, something transforms in us. Our mind changes. Our thoughts change. We don't desire, or at least, you know, in the redemptive work, you shouldn't desire the things that you desired before. And so if you still do, you're in that process, and it's not a bad process, okay? It's an ongoing process. Paul, in the language that he uses when he speaks to us in the New Testament, he often uses a Greek word that basically just translates, you are being saved, meaning that it's continual. It's a work that happens every day, every moment, every second. You're being saved. And then he tells us in a few other places, so continue to wrestle it out. Continue to fight. Continue to work out that salvation. Basically, it's like pumping iron. All the boys back there are like, yeah, my arm pumper got a little bit sore. I pumped too hard. You know, go easy, go gentle, bite at a time, but you're working out. You're getting stronger, okay? But you're a new creation in Christ. Next big question. So what is our purpose? So we have what we are called to be, or who we are called to be, maybe is a better way to say that. But then we say, what's our purpose? And I heard this a minute ago. Make disciples. So the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned us, and he said to go into all the world, making disciples, telling them the good news, what I've done, what I did, what I'm still doing, and teach them to do the same thing. Matthew 28, okay? I'm going to color it a little bit further in these next two points. What's our purpose? To transform regions. We see that language. We've been studying that language. To uproot, to destroy, to demolish every stronghold that raises itself up. Every high thing that tries to exalt itself up above the name of Jesus. Break those down. Tear them up. Throw them out in the dump. All right? To transform regions. And get this. This is something I've been thinking a whole lot about. But he wants them to mirror kingdom structure. Remember, we've been talking on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God, what does heaven look like? Well, heaven's in you. I put it in you. So let it out. Don't contain it. It's too big for you. You ever get a little bit overwhelmed sometime when you're doing something, you're like, man, this is too big. That's a good thing. It needs to be too big, right? If it's not big enough, then it's you. It needs to be big. It needs to be overwhelming. Why? Because when it's overwhelming, it requires you to go to somebody else and say, I don't have this. Let's do it together because you have it. Right? It gets our eyes off of ourselves. It gets our eyes on others. That's why, man, it's so important that we don't get caught in the trap where the enemy will say, man, you don't need the church. Stay at home. Read your word yourself. God can speak to you. Yes, he can. But he wants you to pour out and he wants you to be poured into. And it's a whole lot easier doing that when you're gathering. All right? Be poured out. Get poured into. Can't do that alone. All right? So he wants the regions to mirror the kingdom structure, the kingdom function, and kingdom culture. Here, as it is in heaven, God, have it your way. I want you to be so comfortable that it's like you never left home. Right? You ever hear the mi casa es su casa, my house is your house? Come on, Heinz, did I say it right? My house is your house. If it truly is, it's going to feel like home. You ever go to someone's house and you're like, man, the seats just aren't quite comfortable enough. I'm anxious. I don't want to be here. Like, I'm ready to go. This ain't my house, right? But have you been to the houses that you go in and you're like, dang, I don't want to leave. And they're starting to turn off all the lights. They're trying to tell me something, you know? But you have places like that where it's just like, man, this feels like home. It's crazy. I've been to some Airbnbs that, you know, you kind of had both sides where it's like, man, we better pray over this place because it don't feel like home, like the moment you walk in the door. And then I've been in some that I told Krista, I said, we stayed one night and I still remember it. That's how impactful it was. That's how, like, peaceful and restful it was. Like, somebody was praying over that house. Like, oh my goodness. Because I still remember it, right? I remember vivid details and how rested I felt, right? That's cool. You know, and that makes you want to go back and it makes you want to bless. And as I've said before, it makes you want to leave the place better than when you found it. Come on. Are we leaving them better than when we found it? You know, making sure they got extra coffee stocked up. You know what I'm saying? Filling up their fridge. Non-perishables, of course. But, you know, let's make sure that we're leaving it better than we found it. Right? Make it feel like home. Nobody wants to go grocery shopping. Come on. Do you? So when you go home and you look in the fridge and you're like, hey, they got coffee. Like, all right, these are some cool people, you know? The next one, our purpose. Remember, I'm just coloring it out. No wrong answers here. One of the things that came to my mind was stewardship. We've been talking about stewardship. I feel like we've been in a season of stewardship, just so you know. We're going to kind of get into that in a second. And there's going to be a time in this part where I'm going to want some feedback. So just trust me, this isn't all one-sided here. But one of the things I think our purpose is and can be colored in is to steward well all that he's given to us. And I just kind of talked about that, leaving it better than when we found it. Blessing forward, blessing someone else, making their time with it easier. There's some people that are coming to the faith. They're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. And you're like, you don't need to say all the big churchy words. Be real. Be you. Be who Jesus called. You know? Right? Do you know what I'm saying? Or we start saying, he hath sanctified. You know, you remember the joke where it's like, oh birth giver, you know, I'm hungry, but it said it in King James. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we do that to new believers. And we're like, all right, you got to pray this way. Our Father, thou art in heaven. And we make it so much more polished than it needs to be. And what Jesus is saying, stop it. All I want him to do is pray to me. All I want them to do is talk to me with their whole heart. No performance, no, man, did I say it right? Did I do it right? Did I, you know, lean kind of the right way? Like, you know, the pastor said I ought to lean, you know, did I do it the right way? And we take all that performance out of it and we realize we're not trying to perform for anyone. God just wants our heart and I just want his. And there's no performance there. There's nothing I'm going to earn by if I do it better than John does it. He's like, guess what? I love John the same way I love you. Walk in that freedom. Are you with me? So can we steward well all that he's given us? Can we be salt and light to the world? So there's some Christianese. What does that mean? Well, salt usually makes things taste better, don't it? When you're around somebody, do you make the conversation better? Do you make the atmosphere better? Or do you kind of bring it down? Well, how's it going? Well, you know, I'm alive. Praise be to God. You know, it's like I just said the most negative thing on the planet, but then I churched it up, right? What if we said, hey, how's it going? You know, it's not going too well. Can we talk about it? Can we pray about it? Can you help me? Can you counsel me? How are things going so well for you? Well, they're not. But here's what I do. Here's what the word says. When things aren't well, I pray. When things aren't well, I fast. Oh, you mean I gotta fast? I gotta starve now too? If we look at it that way, it's gonna be that way. But if we look at it as a sacrifice to get more of Jesus, man, I will pay that price every time. Because I want more of him. It's all our perspective. It's like what we've been taught and the way that we said things have been so goofy sometimes. It's like, all right, now is the annual time of year that all of Foursquare starves themselves. It's like, no, now is the time of year that we dream big and we get into prayer and we sacrifice the things that I want for the things that he wants. And God always shows up. He always blows the doors off of my house. And he's like, time for an upgrade. I'm adding on an addition to your house. And it's going to be bigger and better than it was when we started this. Are you in? I'm like, yeah. Yep, I'm in. Let's do this, right? Because his building projects look so much better than my building projects. Guys, I was cleaning and sanding and painting and ripping up carpet and doing all kinds of stuff this week in preparation, you know, because we got our bathroom finally done. Those of you that have been on this approximately 6.5, almost 7 month journey of a bathroom project. And it's finally done. Praise Jesus. And so, you know, like you're doing all of these things and it's a nightmare. But when God steps in, he's like, I do all these things better. And I see all the plans. I have all the skills. I know all the details. Listen to me. And I'm like, okay, have your way. I'm just extra hands at this point. I'm along for the ride. I get the good company and the good conversations. Are you with me? I've always liked that about building projects. Maybe some people are like, don't ask Pastor Chris to build with you because he's going to talk to you the entire time. Maybe that's what it is. I like the good stories. Always good stories. Another purpose. Well, John 15:5 says this, but he says to bear fruit for God in our own personal life, and I believe we should be bearing it in our communities. We should be bearing fruit in this church, and it should be spreading out to our communities, right? If you think about the way that that seeds travel through the airstream and through, you know, birds picking them up or other critters picking them up and kind of gathering it out, it spreads. It can't help but spread. And so what's spreading? Is it all the junk stuff that you're like, oh, I hate that tree? Or is it the really pretty, nice ones that you're like, yeah, I planted that for a purpose, to provide shade or to provide fruit or to do something good, not to kill everything, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, what are we planting? What kind of fruit are we bearing? Everything bears fruit. Is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? Does it bring life? Does it add that salt, that goodness? Or does it cause decay and death? Now hear me. Sometimes we need the decay and death too. Things have to die in order to grow and be reborn. So there's an element to that, but we should be able to inspect the fruit and see what's going on, right? All right, so my last point here, and we're going to get into our scripture, is what is our purpose? To abide in Jesus, to abide in Christ. And that's found in John 15:5-8. They're going to have that on the screen. I want to kind of settle here just a little bit. You know, especially for those that haven't heard this, but in John 15:5-8, it says in verse 5 that I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. This is my favorite part about the entire thing. For without me, you can do nothing. We're going to talk about this more, but without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. What that says to me, nothing of eternal value. You may go to work, you may eat, sleep, you know, all the things, but nothing of lasting or true value can be done without him. Nothing that impacts, nothing that changes lives can be done without Jesus. So if you have something in your heart that you're burdened for, you have a cause that you're burdened for, and Jesus is not center of that cause, center of that burden, he's not fueling that passion and teaching you the strategies to shift it, it won't get done and it won't have the impact that you want to have. You're seeing it because Jesus is calling it out to you and he says, let's partner in this. Let's do this together. And if you're taking that and saying, oh, that's a good idea, and then trying to run with it by yourself, you're going to fail every time. Are you with me? For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And I love this one too. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be, another verse says, version says, so you will be proven to be my disciples. All will know. No mistaking, no questions. Are they Christians? They got to be, because they look different than all the other ones that say they are. And a good different, you know what I'm saying? They're not the ones that have the Jesus fish or the Jesus saying on their car and then they're flipping you the bird as they pass you in traffic and they're road raging you the entire time, but they're pointing with the other finger, you know what I'm saying? Are we shown to be his? Are we bringing the Father glory? Because Jesus wanted it that way, to bring the Father glory. Here at Abide, we've summed up our purpose in this way. We say that we exist to help everyone experience the fullness of living in Jesus. We want you to experience the fullness of living in Jesus. If you abide in him, if you live in him, you will experience fullness, okay? And that's what we want for everybody. That's our goal. That's our mission. That's our purpose. One of the scriptures that came to mind as I was reading this and as I was thinking about, apart from me, you can do nothing. We see in Acts 17, 28, one of the scriptures I really, truly love. There's lots of science-y things. I won't get into that today, but I really like the science-y things. But the scripture in Acts 17, 28 says, in him we live and move and have our being. There are cell structures, molecules that look like Jesus, y'all. It's pretty cool. So maybe we'll share that on another Sunday. But every part about us that was created by him and for him wants to bring him praise. All of creation wants to bring him praise. We exist for that purpose. So don't forget that. You know, it says if God's people didn't cry out in praise for him, that the rocks would cry out. That's what scripture says. I don't know what a rock crying out sounds like, but have you ever seen some of the mountain slides or the little avalanches and stuff? Probably about as loud as that, but just, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll know on that side of heaven, but it's wild. But let's beat the mountains to it. Let's beat the rocks to it and praise our God. Three core values. Obviously, these are not all-encompassing. These are just some nuggets I want to give you. But you'll see this around. You'll see it around more in the coming days. But three core values that we see and we pull from John 15, 5 through 8. The first one is abide. So you'll see it there. I think they have a slide with it as well. Abide, thrive, and multiply. So abiding. I feel that when the Lord said abiding being a core value, here's a few things that come to my mind when I think about abide. I think about rest. What I'm talking about there is the Sabbath rest. A lot of people don't take Sabbath at all. I want to say that one more time. A lot of people don't take a Sabbath at all. What I mean by that is if you're busy on whatever day you've determined should be your Sabbath, you're not Sabbathing. That's not a rest. You know, it's getting before the Lord. It's saying, I'm going to cease my activity and I'm going to do what you ask me to do. So it's a ceasing of one activity in the scriptures, the definition there in the Hebrew words. It's a ceasing. God ceased from doing one thing and he didn't stop. He did something different. And so our ceasing needs to look different than what we were just doing. So if I work all day long throughout the work week for Dell, and I say, all right, I'm going to take a Sabbath, and I'm still doing things for Dell, I'm not Sabbathing. I'm still doing the thing that I was doing. Does that make more sense that way? All right? So it could be, hey, some of us, like my dad and Hezekiah, they get out there and they mow a lawn because that's not what they do all the time, and they love mowing lawns. That may be their time talking with Jesus. Who are you and I to judge? But if it's work to you and I, we ought not to do that. Let them have their fun doing the lawns and talking to Jesus, and we do what restores us. Are you with me? Okay? If you are working on Sunday, and that was your Sabbath, and you're now not Sabbathing, find a day that you're not. And then I'm going to encourage you even more. One pastor said it this way. He said, we found that our schedule was chaotic because we're lead pastors. I was like, preach. And he said, we find like a 12-hour block on this day, ending that day, and we do the next 12-hour block of the following day. So they kind of spread it across 2 days. But they have a 24 hours of actual rest. They just split it up. Whatever works, but rest. All right? Next one in abiding, being in Jesus. And I worded this way for a reason. Some don't know it, but I say studying the word with a capital W. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the word made flesh. And so when I study the word, that doesn't just mean that I study the Bible. It means that I listen to his voice. How many of you know that you can all hear his voice? Your pastor is not your conduit to hear the voice of God. And the Bible is the key to start the process of learning to hear his voice. Because if you know how he speaks and you know his heart, you're going to hear his voice. Amen? So studying the word. And then the last one that I put that I think is notable to call out is prayer and fasting. And I did not say prayer and starvation. I said prayer and fasting. There are all kinds of fasts. And while some people's fast to you looks like starvation, if that brings them closer to Jesus, that's for them. Ask the Lord what kind of fast you ought to do. There are actually a number of them in Scripture, and they don't always all include eating nothing. All right? So ask the Lord the type of fast that you ought to bring to him and make that a regular practice with the intent of I'm going before the Lord, I'm sacrificing something that takes my time, attention, and focus away. It will not be a burden. I won't complain about it because if I complain about it, I'm missing the point, but I'm doing it so that I get more of him. And then, gosh, I'm going to flip it on the other side. I'm going to do it so he gets more of me. How much have I robbed God from? Well, God, I'm going to give you more of me. Are you with me? Have we been starving God? Let me flip that coin on you. Does God get all of you, or does he get leftovers? Does he get the crumbs? I didn't mean for this one to be. All right, let's bring it back up. All right, next one, thrive. I believe that we need, guys, it's so important. So those of you that also don't know, we are a charismatic church. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in healings. I believe in miracles. I believe in all the things Holy Spirit wants to do, even if I don't know what they are yet, because I grew up as a Baptist. I love my heritage as a Baptist boy, but I also love the fact that I actually realized this was a thing here recently through some conversations, but they're a charismatic Baptist. You can love the word, love scripture, and be filled with Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, amen. And there are things that I don't know and I don't understand, and I'm finding them out with you. And if you're cool with me going on the journey and you want to go on the journey with me, and we both agree and know that we're not experts, but we're here to do what Jesus wants to do, if you're good with that, then you're in the right place. But if you've come with, like, I know how to do this, I can do it better than everyone, or I don't believe it should ever be done, whichever side you land on, you're probably not in the right place. I could recommend a few churches for you that love Jesus and they're good people, but they may agree more with you. So let me know if that's you. We're not going to be mean to you or not love you, but this might not be the place for you, because I want to explore this with Jesus, and I'm learning new things all the time. And so if you have the grace to learn new things and the mercy to love someone through that process, you are in a good place. Amen? So I believe that as we thrive, we will operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe that he will empower us to do ministry. Remember what I said earlier, that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. The Holy Spirit is simply the Spirit of Jesus. And if you want Jesus to live in you like I do, that means he's going to start equipping you to do the things that he's called you to do, because we don't have that in ourselves. His word says that. So then he tells us, and you might mark this down, I didn't put it in my notes, Ephesians 4. He tells us in Ephesians 4 that he has set up apostles, that he set up prophets, that he set up evangelists, that he set up shepherds. I like calling them shepherds instead of pastors. Shepherds is all throughout the Bible. Shepherds, someone who loves people, not someone who beats them over the head with more stuff to do. And then lastly, he set up teachers. We need all of them. They all function together, and they all built on that foundation of Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, and we see things propel forward. And then the last way I believe that we thrive, remember, these are not all-inclusive. These are just highlights. But one of the ways I believe we thrive, knowing that, is that it causes us, it actually forces us, if we're walking in Jesus, to be active in our communities. And it causes us to be active in the fellowship, the gathering. If you're not active in the fellowship, hey, Lord, what am I missing? What am I not doing? What am I not seeing? What am I not hearing? It starts with you. I know a lot of things about many of you that the Lord has told me, but you know a whole lot more about you that the Lord hasn't told me. So come tell me, hey, this is what I've purposed in my heart. Can we partner together? All right? I don't know it all. Here's what I've purposed in my heart. Let's do this. I'm going to say some things that I've purposed in my heart. And if our purposes align, come on down and tell me, hey, we align on that. Let me run with it. And I'm going to say, do it. All right, last core value, and that's multiply. I believe we multiply, and we're going to talk about this in just 1 second, through missions and outreach. We have to be going on mission. One of the things the Lord has highlighted to me for those of you that haven't gone on a mission trip, local or abroad, is it's a faith builder. Different regions have a different grace. And when you see those things happen, you can't help but catch those things. You can't help but see them and learn them by proximity. Because some people learn by seeing. How many of you know that? And you catch that by proximity in the spirit. And then God's saying, now that you've caught it, go and share it with your local region. Are you with me? So we need missions to teach us new things, to get us out of our comfort zone. Consider those are... We're like Peter getting out of the boat, walking on the water at the master's command. We need to get out of the boat sometimes. So missions and outreach are important. I'm going to go ahead and just spill the beans on this one. For 2023, I feel the Lord is saying that we should have no less than 2 mission trips that go abroad. I don't know what 2 of those are yet, but I believe no less than, because I believe there might be more, but no less than 2 mission trips will be planned for 2023 that need to be done. And so if you've been kind of, you know, stirring in your heart, like, I need to go on a mission trip. Well, tell me what's stirring in your heart, and we'll just see. We'll compare notes. We'll see what the Lord is saying and where we ought to go, okay? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that is a good functional thing. Go get your passport. It takes a while. What is it, 30 days? Approximately 30 days. It's a while. Make sure you have a passport, okay? That is a good functional thing. Another way that we multiply is, we said it all together, Jesus said it in the Great Commission, discipleship. Discipleship is not teaching rules. Discipleship is living what we read, living what we believe, living what Jesus says all day, every day. I had a youth pastor guy color it for me the way that they did discipleship at his church. He said, I usually have the kids go around with me everywhere. We go shopping together. I go pay bills together. Why? He said, some of these guys are like moving out into their own houses. This is a guy with guys. His wife takes the girls, obviously. But he says, this guy is 19 years old and doesn't have a clue how to pay bills. Doesn't have a clue how to do the practical things. And he said, what better way can I minister to them than to teach them the practical things and get to sprinkle in some Jesus in that process, right? That's discipleship. That's how we communicate it. You teach them the practical, and they just can't help but hear the rest, right? They just can't help but hear your heart. Remember, we go back to, are you that salt and light in your situation? Are you elevating it? Are you bringing it up? Okay? And sometimes they're too scared to ask, well, gosh, what do people think if I tell them I don't know how to pay my own bills, you know? I don't know how to do my own laundry. What will mom think, you know? Right? You know, they are maybe bothered or ashamed that they don't know, but maybe they didn't have anybody teach them. Maybe they didn't have anybody that cared to teach them. You don't know the story. But if we can impart something, let's impart something that helps them and then share Jesus in the process. Can we do that? Now I have on here, in part of discipleship, I have home groups. Y'all listen, there are so many people that are more willing to come to your home before they'll come to this church. And that's okay. Don't beat them up for it. Get them comfortable. And if they like you, you can say, hey, guess what? There's a bunch of people that like me and I like them and we love Jesus together. Let's introduce you to the rest of the family. Are you with me? So baby steps. I'm going to say this again because I believe not only was it a part of Thrive, but it's also a part of our multiplication. But if we're involved in our communities and our city and we're serving them, more opportunities arise. More opportunities to share Jesus arise, and we multiply that way. We spread out that way. If we're meeting with city councils and we're practicing our right to vote and we're doing all of the things, those are all connection points the Lord uses for us to grow, for us to expand. for us to stretch out the tent pegs, as it says in Isaiah 54. All right, and the last one, hopefully you don't groan when I say this one on multiply, cheerful giving. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Me nor anyone else in this church should have to beg you to tithe or to give. So there's a tithe and there's an offering. That's two things. No one should ever have to beg. You're not supposed to do it under compulsion. If I talk to you about giving and it makes you feel like you have to give, don't give. The Lord wants you to be a cheerful giver. He wants you to do it because you love him, not because you love me, not because you want something done and you kind of want to flex things around, but because you want to say, hey, I'm taking my hands off of this. You gave it to me. It is yours. I give it back to you. And I just want to partner with you. No strings attached. So if you feel like we are doing that to you, don't give. But I believe that we multiply through the loving kindness, the loving hearts of cheerful givers. And your cheerful giving may not look like somebody else's. I hope you don't compare, because I don't. Give what the Lord purposes in your heart. All right, the last little section I'm going to give you before I talk about what's next. These are some things in my heart a little bit, so I feel like we need to share them, because these are some questions that not only I have had, but I believe that we have had. The paper that is with you, we're going to use it for two things. We're going to use it for questions, so hopefully you've been writing down some questions in the process, because we're going to cover them in another session, so you can kind of stew on them a little bit and make sure that you have everything. But the other thing we're going to do, and I'm giving you a bit of a teaser so you can think about it now, we're going to dream together. And what I mean by dream together, it's not reliving glory days or trying to do what we did or anything like that. What I mean by dream is the example that I gave earlier. My big dream is that I want to see 1,200 people come to Jesus in the next year. That's right around 100 people every month. Now we may have a big month. We may have a 500 month. Who knows? That's for Jesus. But that's the first step. Guys, we don't have 1,200 in here today. So that's a pretty big step. 1,200 people in 2023. And then we're going to grow it. We might even multiply it, all right? That's how big dreams. So that's an example. Whatever your big dream is. Lord, I want to see that place packed, and Pastor Chris is going to tell me in just a second, spoiler alert, that we're going to do one meal every week for the community starting in 2023. I want to see 5 meals every week starting in 2023. Whatever your big dream is, write it down, all right? So I gave you a couple little nuggets, but that's what you're processing as we're talking about this. So let me share a little bit of my heart, and then we're going to go into that portion. We are almost done. I know what time it is. So I was thinking about the gathering. I don't like calling this a service, because that's weird. We gather. And service should genuinely be, I serve you, you serve me. It doesn't always sound that way when we follow an old model or an old wineskin. So I love what Scripture calls it. He says, do not forsake the gathering of yourself together. So I like calling it a gathering, because I want it to be more than just on Sunday. Can we gather more than just on Sunday? The Word of God says in Hebrews 10:23, go ahead and go to 10:23 for me. It says, so now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Say that with me. He always keeps his promises. Amen? So discover, listen to this, discover creative ways. This is that salt and light. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is in the Passion Translation, by the way, but I just love the way, like, creative ways to encourage others. Can we do that? Can we think creatively? You may even write that down. Like, what creative way can I encourage Bob? I don't know. Find a Bob. Encourage them, okay? 25, verse 25. Listen, this is not the time to pull away. Say that with me. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. As some, have formed the habit of doing. Why? We need each other. Simple as that. We need each other. And listen to what he says. He goes further. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. Jesus is coming back. Can his people meet more together? Now, I know what you're saying. I'm gonna color on this a little bit. Well, that just means that we're going to run the electricity in the building or in our houses more. We got to clean up. We got to have more food. We got to do this. No, it sounds like we're calling a bunch of boxes, a bunch of containers. How about just whatever happens when we gather happens? And you don't have to formulate and process. Now, all of the administrators are losing their minds right now. We have to process. We have to have a plan. We have to have a list. I'm here to tell you that you probably won't have time to. If you're gathering more often, as he says, you might not have time to. But can you appreciate the gathering without having to control? And maybe it's not even a control thing. Can you appreciate the gathering without having to plan every detail of it? And just enjoy the presence of others. Now, this ties into some of my questions that I wanted to ask. And so I read that first, and let's say this. I was going to say it and then see what Scripture says. But now we see what Scripture says. So my question for us, and I want to stew on this just for a second. Where has the church gone? Where are the followers of Jesus? When persecution arises, it's so easy to hide. Man, I don't like getting shot. I'm going to move out of the line of fire. And sometimes we move out of the line of fire far too often and far too long. But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. I'm not of this world. You are not of this world. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb. Isn't that good? I hope you hear that as good. But persecution will arise. But many of the apostles had this heart. Count it all joy when you face trials and tribulation and persecution for the name of Jesus. That was their heart. That was their mindset. Is that ours? So I ask again, where is the church gone? Where are the followers of Jesus? Are we on mission? Another one for you from Acts 17. Are we turning the world upside down? If the world is getting turned upside down around you, you are doing good things. I want the world to be just uncomfortable as all get out. Not like, you know, not hurt, not bad, but uncomfortable. Like, man, when you get around us, we just want to do different things. Like, we don't want to do what we did anymore, right? I've talked about this before, but you ever get around those people that they know you're a believer and they cuss like a sailor, but then when they're around you, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, right? You know what I'm saying? Right? That's what we're talking about, but to a magnified degree. Like, they get around you and they're like, hey, didn't you say something like this about your church service? Like, your pastor was over there, you know, talking blah, 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 you know? And they're like, you heard me? You heard what I said and you remembered it? Most of the church doesn't remember what Pastor Chris says on a Sunday. Come on. But they remembered it? I'm just happy you're talking about it, right? So what are we doing to be the church? What are we doing to turn things upside down, to shift and transform? I had this thought on the gathering. Our gathering should feel like family. Family's messy. There are a lot of personalities. Come on, somebody. There are some personalities in our families that were like, I just don't gel with Jim. He gets on my nerves. But he's family. Gotta love him. We still invite him. He still gets to eat at the same table. Are you hearing me? Jesus loves Jim too. You have a Jim. I am genuinely sorry. I'm not talking about your Jim. But why do we do that? We do that because Jesus modeled that for us. Did Jesus exclude Jim, or was Jim invited to the same table that you and I were? So we should model that. And the other thing that this says, and this is not related to money. I mean, if you go there, you can go there. But I believe that the gathering is an investment. that sometimes you're putting things forward. You're putting your time, your emotions, your energy forward, and you may not be seeing the return yet. Don't give up. Sometimes it takes a little bit. Sometimes those things have to sink in for some folks, and it takes them a little longer. Give them some grace. But it should feel like family. We should be doing it together. And the last thing, I have a whole lot more here. You'll have to look at the app and online for my full notes. But everybody always asks, who's in charge? Who's the boss? Who do I listen to? I just need someone to tell me what to do. Well, his name is Jesus. Exactly. If you thought it was anybody else, I'm sorry. But your boss is Jesus. And I answer to Jesus. And Alan answers to Jesus. And Glenn answers to Jesus. And we might be called to a specific function, but he's the boss. We're operating in borrowed, I like to say borrowed or delegated authority. Any authority that I have is not mine to begin with. I'm stewarding that authority the best that I can, but it comes from him. And if you look at it from that approach in your life and the people that you are called to lead, whether it's in your house group or it's at your workplace or whether that's the grocery store that somebody always talks to you and tells you their life story, use that delegated authority well. You have a voice with them. And you may not know what it's for, but use that. Use it wisely. Steward it well. Are you with me? I want to talk a little bit about future. Man, I have so many notes here. I just kind of went wild. So hopefully they bless you. They all coincide. Some thoughts that came to my mind were around the Exodus. And so Deuteronomy 5 is in there. I think the Ten Commandments are important. We might even touch on this next time. But Jesus showed us his process, his way, his standard operating procedure. And I don't believe the Ten Commandments went away. Jesus just optimized them. But I still feel like even in the two, you reference the 10. Are you with me? Go back and look at the 10. If you're not honoring your father and mother so that you may live long in the land, you're missing something. Go apologize to your mother and father and make it right and start honoring them. Are you with me? Jesus didn't say that was done, in case you were wondering. That's just one. There's so many. Another story that I want you to look at, and I have it in here because it goes into the building of this, but it's Nehemiah chapters 2 through 7. Nehemiah chapters 2 through 7. And what I want to say on this, I'm going to give you a few quick nuggets to give you the scope of what was going on. But the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed in 586 BC. The people were deported. Some were left, others came. And Nehemiah came to Jerusalem in right around 444 BC. And here are some highlights that I wanted to call out about the story. But all of that time, these walls were destroyed. And so because he was facing consistent persecution, they were trying to trap him at every turn, he inspected the walls at night. Think about how dark it is right now at 5 o'clock. Come on. And he doesn't have a flashlight. He doesn't have one of those fancy LED, like, you know, I'm talking about like the good ones. He doesn't have the ones that are on some people's cars that I'm like, turn your brights off. You know, not those. He's got a little lantern. Gosh, I guess it's just the clay thing with the, I know what it looks like. I don't know what it's called. But anyways, he's got a little flame. And he has to get right up on the wall. All right, let me color this for you. So that doesn't sound like a big deal. No one's impressed. The approximate length of this wall was 2.5 miles. The average height of the wall in many areas was 39 feet. The average thickness of said wall was around 8.5 feet. Do we understand the scope of this in the dark for 2.5 miles now? By yourself, inspecting. So not all of it was destroyed. Many of it had big old gaps and holes and all kinds of stuff. But he's assessing the wall. He's inspecting it. This is what I thought was funny. You're going to see this, especially depending on which version you're reading. They have little titles at the top of each of the chapters. But it starts off with, Nehemiah faces opposition in building the wall. Nehemiah helps the poor. Nehemiah continues to face opposition building the wall. Here's the one that I thought was the kicker for me. Nehemiah faces opposition because of the completed wall. These guys were a bunch of whiners. Like, we don't like it when it's not done. We don't like the process. We don't like it when it is. We're just going to whine about all of it, right? How many of us have those people in our lives? Okay, pray for them. They don't like any of the process. Change to them is terrible on all accounts, even if it's God. Are you with me? The work became so much that he had to have half of the people building and half of the people standing guard. Here's what this said to me. We need workers and we need prayer warriors. You may think to yourself in the spirit and in the natural, man, I don't know if I'm a worker, but goodness, God's called me to pray and I can do that better than just about anybody I can think of. Well, good, that's a gift. That's not boasting. That's a gift. So pray. Get the vision, get the plan, get the structure and strategy, and then be on that wall as a warrior, ready to defend. Hey, no, they're building this. Devil, you ain't coming 10 feet in front of them while they're working, not while I'm on guard. Are you with me? Do you see that? Do you understand that? Listen to this. I thought this was cool. Around 40 groups of people or families worked on their part of the wall simultaneously. Do you know how long it took them to get it done? 52 days. 52 days after years of being in shambles. Why? Because the people all came together in unity and they said, you know what? I can't work on this entire wall. I understand the vision. It does all need to get done. But I can tell you for sure I can work on my part of the wall. It's right here. I'm the closest to it. I have what I need to do it, and I got the person guarding. So I don't have to worry about someone coming up and attacking me. I'm going to work, they're going to guard, and we're going to take care of our part of the wall right here and right now. And then the next person saying, I'm going to take care of our part of the wall right here, right now. Are you with me? Do you see how this is going to cascade and how it's going to build? But things started happening when each person started working on the area closest to them. So here's the part in the sermon where I said, we're going to dream big. We're going to say, God, here's what I believe. Here's what I have the faith to stretch out past what I think or see or know. And I'm going to ask you for this thing. This is my big dream, my big vision for 2023. He has a whole year. And you're giving him a little bit of a teaser as if he didn't already know it was in your heart to begin with. But just look at it that way. You're telling him now, before we get into December even, here's what I want to believe for 2023. Stretch my faith. Remember when he asked the guy, he said, do you have faith? He says, I have faith, but increase my faith, right? Increase my faith. I want more. I want to believe for the big, right? I'm going to let you process just a little bit on it. I can't not share this. So while you're thinking about that big dream, maybe this is going to be part of it. I hear so often, and I'm going to use this term, and I'm even going to use it in air quotes. Many. Everyone say many. And this is about focus. What are we focused on? Many have left. I hear this way too often, as if I didn't know. Many have left. You know what my response is? Many have come. Many are still on their way. You know, one thing that I am blown away by every day I think about it is the number of pastors and churches that I'm now in partnership with and in communication with that have resources that I didn't have before. Ways to bless people that I didn't have before. And when I think and when I plan and I get something in my heart, I call these guys and say, what can we do? Like, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. Some ministries that have already started. So go with me here. If God owns the basket, why am I concerned with what's in mine? I love you. And I love, guys, I pray for and know every name that's left. But they've all left for different reasons. We can't lump them all into the same basket. And so do we choose to bless them and to say, you're still a part of the family. You're welcome anytime. You've been invited to the same table that I've been invited to. Or do we say, because you don't sit in this chair, you're not a part. I don't do that. I don't operate that way. And so what I choose to focus on is there are a people and there are some that are here now and there are some that are on their way. There are some that will transition out and make room for the next. But whoever is in here, that is our charge to care for. And then whoever is not in here, that's who we love and who we partner with. And so like they never leave our life. They never leave this place. And so I need us to see that God is moving in our region and we can get focused on the little negative things or we can get focused on the bigger thing. All right, God, you're moving. How can I be on this with you? And then I'm going to say one other thing because I've heard this. When asked, because it is something that I ask and I do pray about, well, why did you leave? Man, I just couldn't handle the change. I couldn't handle the transition. I couldn't handle all the differences. And that's valuable. Like, I understand that. You might not be able to. That's okay. It's not a bad thing. As long as no one's in sin and we've done a great disgraceful thing that needs repentance, we're good, right? And then I think about that, and I need you to hear my heart on this. I was talking to Pastor Glenn about this. I think the arrival, for those that have stayed, hear this. The arrival at the place that he's leading us to is going to have so much more weight, so much more impact, so much more joy because you're going on the journey. You get to see all the changes. You get to see the highs and the lows, the good and the bad. And when you get to choose to focus on the good, the destination is better. It's like, whoa. Dude, just like 5 months ago, it looked different. You know, last week it looked different. I mean, come on, like look what God's doing. And it gives us more reason to celebrate. So you're a part of the in crowd. And when, remember, this is all said in the mindset of not hurting anybody. So that's not what I mean. But you're in the in crowd. You're getting to see something and experience something that those that couldn't partner on the journey don't get to. And so you're going to have a value for it and a joy with it. And then I believe the Lord expects you, share that joy. Pour out that joy. And then say, hey, the train ride has kind of settled down a little bit. Come on board and just check things out. See what you think, you know? But remember, the goal is not to fill up our seats. It never was. Can we reach people for Jesus? And I don't care what church they go to, as long as they profess Jesus's name and they're getting poured into, they're pouring out, like they're doing all of the things. They can be abiding and not be at abide. Are you with me? All right, here's the last little nugget, and this is what I wanted you to kind of join with your dreaming. So here's some of Chris's dreaming. I believe for 2023, one of the words that the Lord has given me is the word propel. And I was talking about this the other day with somebody and they said, talk about that a little bit more because I liked hearing that. So I told them in the meeting that everyone is invited to on Tuesday mornings with Pastor Glenn and Paul and Tamika has come now, but we just kind of share a little bit, kind of shoot the breeze a little bit, but just anything goes kind of thing. And I said, I felt like the Lord said propel for 2023. Now there's a lot of words that he's given me, but this is the one that stuck out. And because I'm a nerd, I think of space. And the Lord drew my attention to one of those new spaceships that they've been talking about that'll be for interstellar travel, so beyond our solar system. And this spaceship has what they call a light sail. So think of a boat on the water, sails. You need wind to move in the sails, and it causes it to move forward. So very similar. But the sun does it. So you don't get to see it happen. It just happens, right? Are you with me? Everybody on board, even if you're sciencey or not. Okay, Jesus said, that's the kind of propulsion, the kind of acceleration that I'm about to do in you guys and through you. You're not going to know where it came from or where it's going, but it's about to accelerate you and propel you in a way that you couldn't have done yourself. So hop on board. Our arms and legs in the vehicle at all times because we're about to start moving and you don't want to lose an appendage, okay? Jesus will grow it back, but it's just easier if you pull those things in, okay? So we're going to propel in 2023, and here's some things that he's got on my mind, practical things. He's been saying continually, and I told a few people this, but 24/7 intercession. And here's what I'll say about this, and this kind of goes back with what I said. It can't be an abide thing. I don't want it to be an abide thing. I want it to be a people of God in the city of Oklahoma City thing, and then it grows into the people of God into the state of Oklahoma thing, so on and so forth. But what he's saying is there's like this schedule that I had in my mind, and I was talking to Amber about printing like a big old poster out or whatever, but it's going to have blocks of times, hour blocks of times. And you're just going to go up there, whether it's online or physically, and you're going to scribble your name in into the hour block where you're the watchman. But 24/7 intercession is going on at all times, wherever you're at. What that means for us as a church is I want us to be a place that people can come through the week and do that if they don't have a place to meet at. But I'm working with some of those partnerships for coffee shops and other locations that we can go to as well. And then some of it, like the 1 a.m., 2 a.m., you may not want to get out of bed. Okay? You may not want to get out of PJs. So pray at your home. And it's okay to say, I got 2 a.m. home. You know, that's fine too, wherever your location is, but that we are a people that think and believe and know that intercession is important and we do it. All right? So 24/7 intercession. If it's here or at the coffee shops, we'll have worship going too. But that's one thing. Next thing I teased a little bit ago, but we want the community center done. We are getting very, very close, but there's still some things to do. But we want the community center done for the community engagement, the birthday parties, the neighborhood associations that currently meet in here. I would have them meet over there. And then the other thing I called out a minute ago is our weekly meal. It is in mine and Christy's heart that we provide a meal to whoever wants a meal during the week. All right? Our mind thinks that it's going to be on a Wednesday night, but we could be swayed otherwise. It's kind of one of those things that people expect something to be going on Wednesday, so it's just easy. I also understand that doesn't fit everybody, but that's where I said your dream may be, hey, I want a 5 days a week meal, not just one, you know what I'm saying? So that's something that we've purposed in our hearts, that God wants to do a weekly meal to impact the community and other ways to impact the community. The next one, and this I talked about with people, so I know it's a thing and it is coming soon, but I think it's going to grow a little bit. But he said ministry and life skill training. Remember I was talking about taking those youth with you and saying, hey, 18-year-old, do you know how to pay your own bills? All right, cool. Come on, I want to show you, you know? But it's like we do life with these kids, these young adults, and we show them this is a life skill. My dad can probably show a few these kiddos how to mow for us. Do some yard work. You're going to have a yard. Let's learn how to take care of it, right? You understand what I'm saying? Like there are life skills, cooking. It's easier to cook meals than to buy meals. It's cheaper too. So let's cook some meals. Let's teach you how to cook, right? But I believe we need to couple the ministry skill training with life skill training. It doesn't need to be one or the other. It needs to be both. Are you with me? This is a training center. Remember, not come and see, equip and send. Okay. Next one, I believe that our home groups are going to expand. I believe that there are people in this room right now under the sound of my voice that God has told them they need to do a home group. They've just been trying to figure out location. Well, guess what? You have one part of the puzzle. Come talk to me and let's see if we can figure out the other part. But let's do some more home groups. And your home group doesn't need to be a Bible study. It doesn't need to be a worship night. It could be one or those. Or you could do a little bit of something every time that's different, okay? It can include a meal. It might not include a meal. I will tell you this, the same offer we've made to our existing small groups, I'll make to you. If you need help coming up with the money or the food for your meal at your small group, come talk to us and we want to help with that. So if that removes an obstacle for you and you say, hey, I spent $100 this month, the church is going to reimburse you $100 for that month. Are you with me? Okay, removing obstacles. So then the givers here, the church needs money to make sure we can take care of the meals. Okay? And then last but not least, I touched on this, mission trips. At least, no less than, 2 mission trips for 2023. I have some places in mind. I have some places I've even been invited to. I'm not sure those are the places yet. I'm still praying about it. But if you would intercede with me and say, Lord, where are we going? Where do you want us to go? Chris said at least two, but if I can throw number three in there or number four in there, we'll do that. But I want to know people that are ready to be on mission. I want to know people that have connections. If God says Africa, tell us who you know in Africa and let's connect with somebody who wants to hear the gospel, who wants us to build something, whatever it is. But let's go to Africa, Europe, wherever. Are you with me? All right. How do we feel? Hopefully excited. I'll leave you with this last thing and then we'll pray. Dad and I were talking. And I said, Dad, I cannot have us be the type of church that is a museum. We can't be a museum. Come look at all the things that God has done. Look at all the things that God did. I don't want to be that. If that's what it is, I'm out. I'm going somewhere else. I want to be the hospital. I want to be the place that people come to, that they feel safe. They hear the word of the Lord through our actions and through the ways that we love them. And we set them up for success to go share that same message in all the places that they will go to. I want to be a place that is impacting people's lives for the name of Jesus and making his name great, not a museum. So hopefully this connected with you. As I said, I've got more and I've got a part two that we'll share in the next few weeks. But a lot of people ask me, where are we going? What are we doing? Well, there's a good chunk of it. Let's pray about these things and say, all right, God, now I have a better or clearer picture. Am I the prophet that needs to help with the details? Am I the teacher that needs to teach the functions? Am I the shepherd that needs to love people because change is hard and I got to love them along the way? Whatever your function is, even if it's the office or a function, ask the Lord what it is and how you can partner with, okay? And then something I'd like to do with your sheets, I don't want you to turn them in now. I want you to bring them next Sunday so you have a week to process. But I want you to say, all right, what is my dream big? I'm going to bring it next Sunday, and I'm going to pull that cross back out here, and we're going to put it on the cross. But this time, I'm going to leave the cross out because I want it to remind us. I might even take it and put it in a digital graphic that we could put online. But I don't want these to be secret. I want them to be visions and dreams that we see and we're reminded all year long. So that remember, we see the process, we see the part of the journey, and we get to call out the highlights on when God is moving and how he's moving, and we get to celebrate him. Are you with me? All right. Would you stand? Jesus, I thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for, Lord, all the dreams that you have in this room, big dreams. Grow them, Lord. Help us to dream and partner with you in this way. The sky is the limit. Your ways are higher. Your thoughts are higher. Lord, show us your ways. Show us your thoughts. And Lord, let us partner with you. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you're going to do throughout the rest of this year. All the promises that you have still yet to keep. And your word says you keep them all. And Lord, all that you have in your heart for 2023 and beyond. We want to be people that say yes to you. Here I am. Use me. You have my yes even before you asked. Thank you, Jesus, for these people. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that if anybody online or in the room under the sound of my voice does not know you, would you come and talk to me? Would you send us a message? Let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. Jesus is the best thing ever. No one is better. Nothing is better. Lord, protect these people as they go home. Protect all those who have felt ill and are not able to make it for whatever reason. Lord, guard them and guide them. Heal them in Jesus' name right now, this very moment. We believe it. You can do it. So let it be. Amen and amen. Alrighty. Bring your stuff back. Bring the dreams back, okay? Love you guys.